TV set all night
and every night.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do.
Hello and welcome to TV Times 3, episode number 13. I'm Ray from ramblingsofatvwhore.com.
I'm Jason the TVaholic from tvaholic.com.
And I'm Emery from mytakeontv.com.
Hi, you guys.
Hello.
It's been a long time.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Yep.
Oh, and to all of you out there. And to Shannon, especially, who emailed us over the break because she had to vent about how many shows were coming.
Shannon, what a doll. I love that email.
I know. We do understand your pain, Shannon. We also have the juggling problem with all the shows that are coming in the spring.
Yes.
But that is for another podcast. For this podcast...
Next week.
Next week, indeed. For this podcast, we're going to talk a little bit about what we did over the Christmas break, I guess. Our predictions for 2009, and maybe some TV resolutions, or in my case, TV goals that we have for the year ahead. And, oh, by the way, we're skipping the news section here because there's been a lot of news in the past 3 weeks. And there's been a lot of news this past week because of the TCAs happening. So we'll have to pick that up again next week when there's not quite as much to have to go through. So
exactly.
For now,
and Ray's check out all those websites. Nice, but I'm going to say you can look it up yourself, which is what I said before we got on the recording.
Look it up your damn self. No. All right. All right, so what did we do over the break? What did you guys do?
I hung out with my family a lot.
Uh-huh.
And
did you watch any TV?
I watched a lot of TV. But I don't know that we should start with me because I sound like an idiot right now.
You're the one that started talking.
Well, I was just going to say that...
I thought you said before that you didn't watch a lot, like you had things planned and you didn't watch any of them.
Yeah, I have a lot of things stockpiled on my TiVo.
And you didn't watch any of them?
18 episodes of Cold Case or something like that. Like, it's terrible.
You better start watching those or you're not going to have any room.
Oh my God, I know. I know. I finally had to cancel my... Oh, you know what? I did watch a lot of John and Kate Plus 8.
Camry.
And I'm putting it out there. If I had Madeline as a child, I'd kick her.
Okay.
I'd kick
her
out.
A lot of people feel that way.
Yeah.
You have been interviewing a lot of people for your site.
I have been quite busy. The guy from ABC is like, I feel like I talk to you every day. I said, I know. That's the plan. But yes, I talked to Eric Stoltz. I think I may have already talked to Eric Stoltz when we did our last podcast because I remember talking about how much I love him.
You hadn't talked to him yet. You just talked to him, didn't you?
I don't know. All I know is that he's awesome, and he was the funniest. And then Tyne Daly. So now I have completed Cagney and Lacey. So yay! That's exciting.
My phone's ringing. Timing. I'll be right back.
Oh, that's just too good.
That's perfect. I knew she should have silenced it.
All right, sorry. That phone call was to...
You gave me a phone call.
Oh. I know. Was to coordinate what I've been doing over the break, which is doing a Lost marathon with Mona.
Nice.
She's on the last episode of season 3.
Ooh, the big reveal.
Yep. That's what I just... That's why I asked her, because Jody was all, I'm so excited that she's going to get to see season 3 ending. So I apologize for the interruption with the phone. However, that's why I was interrupted, because that's what I've been doing over my holiday break. I've been watching a hell of a lot of Lost with Mona Lisa. I don't know if I should give her full name out, but...
Wait, her name's Mona Lisa?
Her name is Mona Lisa Irene.
That's awesome.
Where were we? Besides that? Besides my phone call interrupting us?
We were talking about...
People you've interviewed?
I forget who I interviewed. Tyne Daly, Cagney and Lacey.
Did you just interview her? You've
Tyne
been transcribing
Daly?
These, haven't you? That's why
yeah,
you're
I just put Tyne
up.
Daly up yesterday. And then I forget what I was going to say. Because it suddenly went quiet. Like I couldn't even hear breathing.
Okay. And then?
Okay, I take back my
it.
Prediction
I posted
of the show.
It online. Yeah.
You what? Huh?
What prediction is he talking about?
I don't know.
I'm taking back my prediction of best show ever.
Oh. This episode. I don't know why you thought this would be the best show ever, but whatever. All right. So, Jason, what did you do over the break?
Well, I attempted and have come close to watching all of Battlestar Galactica episodes, you know, in order, leading up to... we're recording this on Friday, on the night that the new episode starts playing again. And I got through three seasons. I've already seen all the episodes of, you know, the first half of season four, but I'm still going to try and watch them before I watch the next new episode.
Had you already seen the whole series and you were just rewatching?
I'd seen parts of it. I'd never seen much of season one or season two. I'd seen parts of season three and then like the first half of season four. Gotcha. And so I decided that before it ended, I wanted to try and go back and watch it all, see if I could do it in a month, and would have been able to via Netflix. If I hadn't got, the other thing I did was I got snowed in a lot over Christmas break, which was Claria. We got a lot of snow over Christmas. And so needless to say, we didn't get a lot of mail delivery. That sort of puts a damper on being able to get stuff from Netflix or being able to send stuff back out. Otherwise, I would have been long done already. But so that's what I've been doing, is trying to catch up on Battlestar Galactica. So I've been watching, you know, like somewhere between, you know, three or, you know, six, eight episodes in a day sometimes, depending on how many Netflix discs show up.
That's a lot of TV.
Yeah, well, it got to be a really lot of TV, like the last week when I was hoping to have a lot more of it watched by the time new shows started coming back. Mm-hmm. And so last week, I almost didn't watch anything during the week. The only things I'd actually seen for like the previous week were things that I'd gotten on screeners, you know, like Privileged or Damages and stuff like that. And a lot of other stuff I didn't get to, and I had the... my DVR was at like 85%, the main DVR, and then I had some others on the second one. And so I had like last weekend, I had like a whole weeks of all the new episodes of stuff like Psych and things like that to try and catch up on. But it's been a lot of fun doing the Lost Marathon I've been doing the Battlestar Galactica Marathon. It's a lot of fun watching all, where you can just go right into the next episode. You don't have to wait for that. Like, you're going to have to wait now, like another week before you get another Battlestar Galactica episode.
True. I was telling Mona that while we were watching when things would happen. And I was like, look, at least you don't have to wait like three more weeks to see it happen. You just put it in your disc and you're there.
Exactly.
Because I did a Lost a couple of summers ago or after... you know, I never watched season one, and I watched season two, and then I went back after season two at the beginning of the summer, and I got season one on DVD, and I watched like the whole season in, you know, like 3 or 4 days or something like that, you know. Mm-hmm. So I like those where you can just like go right into the next one.
It's definitely better. I will say that I haven't really been there for all of the episodes because, you know, when I'm... She was supposed to have her daughter for every weekend of the month, which was going to make it a little difficult for us to watch it with me there as well. So she's been kind of watching whenever she had some free time, she'd watch. And then I would go over for, you know, 4 or 5 episodes in a shot. And then she'd watch like half a season without me. And then I'd go back. It got to be a little confusing for me because I don't clearly recall everything that's happened or when it's happened. So sometimes I would come back and she'd ask me a question. And I'm like, well, what have you known so far?
Because
I don't want to reveal anything. Like, I think I had that with Mr. Echo, where, like, I was going to say something about his death or something, but she hadn't seen it yet, but I wasn't sure. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't sure where it happened. Mm-hmm. One of those weird things. Plus, I'm glad I didn't say anything. She knew about Anna Lucia dying, Spoiler alert for those people who haven't watched Lost yet.
Spoiler alert.
She knew about Anna Lucia dying because she had seen some of season two, and like she has friends who really like the show. So they'd been talking about the show, whatever. So she knew that Anna Lucia died, and she knew the whole, you know, the whole DUI story, whatever. But she didn't know when it happened. And like the episode we were watching when it actually happens, like I could tell that she had no idea that it was coming. You know what I mean? Like, and it was so fun to like watch her reaction to that moment because she was totally shocked by Michael shooting her.
Yeah, that was a pretty good.
It was very. And she had no idea that Libby was going to die. So she was completely shocked by Michael shooting Anna Lucia and then Libby. In fact, like for the entire next episode, she was just
that's
like,
a shocker on top of a shocker.
Right. She's just like, what just happened? But I couldn't say anything. Like, I had known the entire episode that it was coming, and I was just, like, trying not to say anything because I didn't want her to know. Like, she made some comment about Anna Lucia something. She made some, like, comment like, well, that's why you're going to get killed or something. And I just, I didn't want to, like, give anything away, so I didn't make any comment at all because I didn't want her to know. Anyway, it's been kind of fun to, like, watch somebody else see it for the first time.
Yeah, that's how my brother only watched the first season and then did the thing, and he was watching, like, every time he'd be like, oh my god, and then this happened, we could celebrate together.
That's so funny. Well, besides my Lost marathon, if I'm completely honest, I think the only thing I watched was Damages. Because I went over to a friend's house for, like, I guess I watched Damages at Thanksgiving time, so that was a long time ago.
Yeah, it came really early.
Yeah, like those first two episodes came really early, and I watched those with my friend and his mother like near Thanksgiving because she was here for Thanksgiving. And then the third episode came like right at Christmas time because I gave him that episode to watch with them together. And then Greg writes for my site, by the way, so that's why I let him watch it. and then I let him review it too. I watched that after he gave it back to me, but it was right there at Christmas time, so it feels like it was a long time away. Which is, it's kind of ironic, you know, I got a brand new TV and a brand new Blu-ray player for Christmas, so you would think I would have spent a lot of time watching TV, but I didn't. I guess I watched a lot of movies, a lot of Blu-ray movies. I did buy Pushing Daisies and Chuck on Blu-ray, so maybe that counts.
Oh, that's exciting.
It is exciting. Pushing Daisies is pretty in high def, which you all knew, and I just didn't.
I don't know. I've never watched it in high def.
Well, it's very pretty.
Wait, no, that's a lie. That's a lie. I'm a liar.
You are.
Our living room TV is a high def. My bedroom's not high def.
Don't worry.
Sorry.
That's okay. Anyway, so that's what I did. Nothing much. I really read books most of my break when I wasn't dealing with my family, which was pretty much most of the time. So, all right. Well, let's move on to our predictions, I guess. Or do you want to do resolutions first or goals? Whatever.
Maybe resolutions, because okay, that's like a first of the year thing, which okay, I didn't set anything for myself this year. But
well, I'll just say I don't really do resolutions. I have this weird thing about how when you do resolutions, they tend to be negative. Like, I'm going to stop doing this, or I'm going to, you know what I mean? So instead I try to set goals, because I feel like you don't set yourself up for disappointment with goals. Like with a resolution, the minute you don't follow through with it, you've kind of screwed up. Like you know what I mean? You haven't done it. Whereas exactly, with a goal, like you have more time to, it doesn't feel like that for some reason. I don't know why. I'm just kind of weird.
Gotcha.
Anyway, but yes, what are our resolutions / goals? Anybody?
I would like to
see Tim Ringens.
Sure. Yeah. Sorry. To Taylor Chin person. No, that's not an actual thing that I'm going to set for myself. I would like very much to stop myself from watching The Secret Life of the American Teenager. And I don't know if it's going to happen.
Have you been watching since it started?
I have, and it's killing me, and I don't want it to kill me.
Killing you softly with its bad acting?
With its bright, bright. Exactly. And another thing that I want to try to do is to stop, like, I'm not reading spoilers like I was, because like last year I knew everything that was going to happen and everything, and I was so over it. But this year I've been reading like little things here and there, and then I'm like, oh, I have to read more about that. So I really want to try and not be spoiled. Like, I wasn't spoiled about 24 at all, and so it was amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, so I want to try and avoid completely.
Yeah, I was pretty much I'd stayed away from everything until I read. I was like, made the mistake of reading stuff on Twitter. And while I, you know, you kind of know that probably Tony's not going to turn out to be, you know, necessarily a bad guy or something like that in the back of your head. I mean, but you don't know really. And I'm reading somebody and they put out on Twitter, okay, I love Tony Almeida again. And I was like, damn it. Now I know that he is a good guy. So I had stayed spoiling for up until like minutes before I was going to watch the episode, the second 2 hours.
Well, I never stopped loving Tony Almeida, whether he was an asshole or not. Oops.
Language.
Well, I just knew that it was previously they had said something about how they didn't like Tony Almeida. And so now I knew it. So it was a complete opposite. And so I knew what they were talking about. And I was like, oh. So I hate that. Which is why as of 5 o'clock West Coast time, I'm turning off Twitter until I get to Battlestar Galactica sometime tomorrow. Because I don't want to know anything.
Because I know that there's a big reveal tonight, like about I'm pretty sure that the final Cylon's tonight.
Yeah, it's like I don't want to know anything.
Yeah, maybe I should do that. I don't have the willpower to stay away from Twitter. Twitter, you are my vice.
Maybe that should be your goal.
I'm even thinking about doing any work or anything ahead of time here so that I don't have to look at the computer and accidentally see something somewhere until I get to that episode tomorrow. So anybody else have any – what are your goals, Ray? I want to know what you've set TV-wise for your
I don't have that many goals. My biggest goal is to stop watching things that aren't really – interesting me, or I don't know if interesting me is the right word, because it's not like I don't like some of the shows that I'm thinking about. Like, I stopped watching Brothers and Sisters like 2 weeks ago. I've like deleted the past two episodes without watching them, and I deleted last week's Desperate Housewives without watching it. And it's not because like I dislike the shows per se, it's because I'm not excited about watching them, and the stories really haven't been grabbing me for the entire season, so I don't really understand why, you know what I mean? Like, I don't really care about any of the characters enough to like think I need to tune in and at least see what's going on with that character. So why am I watching it? Like, it's not quite as bad as it was when I stopped watching One Tree Hill, where like I had to get to the point where I was calling it That Wretched Beast in order to stop. But like, I feel like I should start letting go of some shows that if I'm not really enjoying the show and I'm not, you know, I don't really have an excitement to watch it, then why am I watching it? So that's my goal, is to start like paying attention to what I'm watching and whether I'm really enjoying it or not, and not just to like keep holding on because I have this like belief that I'm going to miss something. If it gets really good again, I'm going to have missed it, or I can always catch up. How I should feel. So that's my goal. My goal is to let go.
that's the only thing I could come up with, like TV resolution wise or something like that, was to try and give up on a few shows or stop watching some shows after a while when you realize that, you know, it's not as good as it used to be, or realize that it was never really good and that you still don't know why you're watching it. But somehow I think that resolution will once again go down in flames on Monday with Secret Life and One Tree Hill.
Exactly.
Because it's almost gotten to the point where if you don't watch it, you can't make fun of it. Because like you need like fresh material.
But I don't know. I feel so much better since I've let go of like those type of shit. Like, even though I was making fun of them or whatever, I just feel like, you know, I have more time, or I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I can concentrate on the shows I really want to watch. I guess that's where my goal comes from, is because I kept feeling like I was feeling very rushed during the week to try to watch everything. So like, even the shows that I really like, I would rush through them. Mm-hmm. And I'm sick of doing that. I want to be able to sit down and like just watch those shows and enjoy them without feeling like, oh my God, I got to get this watched so that I can watch the 13 other hours of TV that I have saved here before I have to delete something because something's not going to get erased. So.
Yeah. Well, I was sort of thinking on that same level, just so like I could actually spend a little more time actually writing about the shows or doing other things, you know, website wise, than
that's true because I watch everything and then never post about it.
Yeah, I know. That's I get in streaks of where like at the beginning of the season, I wrote a whole bunch of reviews, you know, of season premieres and stuff like that, and then it kind of went away as the season got where I was just like watching, you know, everything, and then you sort of have some things to say or whatever, and so I tend to right now it's like little mini reviews or something like that on Twitter. You know, it's like the only thing that
I know.
That
sometimes
I
think that I should publish my Twitter feed. Like other people do it, but like just to do the digest form every once in a while, because I actually do talk about TV more on my Twitter feed at times than I do on my blog, because for the same reason. But I think that's also because we podcast about it, so I have so many outlets to talk about it now that by the time I have to like sit down and write a post, that just takes too long. Whereas I could just post something small on Twitter and I don't have to write a whole thing. But hopefully like cutting down on the number of shows will allow me to be more excited, I think, about the ones that I really like and let me like want to talk about them more.
Well, that's what I like about watching stuff off the DVR and saving stuff up is that you know, you can actually like put something out on Twitter or say something about it and you don't feel like you're necessarily spoiling anybody like by posting about it like right when it's airing or something like that.
True. But see, if you don't post about something somewhat close to when it airs,
yeah,
like not on your Twitter, on your blog.
Yeah.
On Twitter, it's probably always relevant because people will like respond. But
Well, I also because of my work schedule, it's difficult for me to actually a lot of stuff I don't have a chance to watch until I get home from work in the morning, and then by the time I've watched it, I'm too tired to like actually write anything coherently. And by the time I get up, 25,000 other places have already posted their thoughts on last night's episode of whatever, and so it kind of feels like late to the party.
But if you watch less things, see, that's why the goal is a good one. All right. Any other resolutions/goals from anyone?
Not really.
All right. Everybody listening, you should call in at 213-985-3176 and tell us your TV goals/resolutions for 2009. Or what you think our goals should be, if you prefer.
Yeah.
I sense a lot of get caught up on Sarah Connor.
Yeah, sorry, a lot of Shannon. People are going to say that.
I didn't get caught up on that, Shannon, over the break. I apologize.
Yeah, I haven't watched a single episode, have I? No, I watched the premiere. That's about it.
I'll probably not much. I don't have time with all my other stuff that I'm doing.
You only got to watch like 10 or 12 episodes over the next month.
Okay, but there's new shows out now. So like during the break, I was okay with it because there wasn't any new shows that had to compete. But now I'm a little behind. So I suspect I'm just going to pick back up and see how it goes. thanks.
Well, maybe we can put out a call for the essential episodes that you should go back and watch.
All right, fine. Call in at 213-985-3176 and tell me what essential episodes of Sarah Connor, Terminator, Sarah Connor Chronicles, I should watch before, when is it, February 13th? Does it
February
start the
13th.
Same day? Yeah, February 13th, and I will attempt to do so. No more than 3 or 4 people. Those should be the essential. All right. keep in mind
advance.
I watched like the first 3 or so.
Yeah, say in advance
watching.
To the people that are going to say, all 12 episodes are essential episodes. How can we pick?
Yeah, that's not going to happen. That's why I'm not going to watch. All right, anyway, let's move on to some quick TV predictions for 2009 before we get into our primetime talk. Do you have any?
Lie
I don't really
me.
Have
I think
money.
People are going to watch Lie to Me. I think they're going to love it.
Okay.
That's all I have.
That's it? I predict that either Life or Chuck will be gone, possibly both, but
yeah,
definitely
I
one of
feel
them.
The same way.
Definitely one of them will be gone, I think.
Yeah, it sure.
And it breaks my heart because I like them both so much.
I agree.
Yeah, it's too bad. It kind of does sound that way after reading everybody that's at, you know, the television critics thing on Twitter, all the TV critics that are there, and and what was it, yesterday NBC was up. Wasn't a whole lot of really good news for shows like that.
Like I said, they don't have a whole lot of time. They refuse to say that Lipstick Jungle is dead, even though I'm pretty sure we all know it is. They keep saying she doesn't want to say no to it yet.
Yeah, that was the other thing. They won't say anything is canceled, but they also won't say anything's coming back. And
exactly. And, like, they're trying to give hope to fans of Friday Night Lights. Like, we love that show. Silverman, you don't love that show. Ben Silverman, if you're listening.
That's true. I don't think he's listening. I don't think he's listening to anybody this week.
Yeah, I don't think he's listening to anything ever, except for whatever.
I think he has his fingers in his ears and is, like, singing la, 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 so he doesn't have to listen to the critics talking about him.
And let's just say, some of the critics there, they use the term critic loosely, but I digress.
Well, I don't think the true critics are on Twitter. I think the true critics are the ones you have to read their columns to.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say that. I don't mean that, Zap to It family. Because that's the large part of the people that I'm talking about there. I don't mean it like you're not a critic. I just mean, like, the true blue, like, newspaper critics are not on. Not very many of those guys are on Twitter. So, but anyway, this is all sidetracking.
My With point, us?
I know. Imagine that. But I really do think one of those is definitely gone, if not both. And I think it's just because they just don't have the space. And if they're going to put any new shows out, they have a couple of new things starting. And if they are going to get anything new for fall, you know, they just don't have the space to keep it all, I guess. Maybe they can bring it back for a mid-season.
Not with five less hours of programming space to fill.
And you know what? I know this is totally off. It's not off subject, but it's a tangent. Sorry. Imagine that. I just don't understand why people keep saying that Chuck does not repeat well. I've heard this in, like, because there were discussions about TCAs or whatever. Have they ever really given Chuck a chance to repeat well?
They haven't really played, like, in its same time slot, any repeats in, like, its normal time slot or anything.
Exactly.
They've given it, like, you know, like, Saturday repeats and stuff like that.
Well, last year, I can see why it wouldn't necessarily have repeated well last year, in the sense that if they played it, and I don't think they did, really. They might have played one or two episodes, like, in the spring area where, like, the strike was happening, whatever. I could see why it wouldn't necessarily repeat well then, because it was new that year, so people weren't really caught on to it yet. So, you know what I mean? But now that it has a little bit more fans, I think it would repeat just fine. Like, I would be happy to sit down and watch Chuck on Monday when I had nothing else to watch at that time of day. So, sorry, that was my little tangent, bitch, because I just don't understand why people keep saying that when they don't really have any proof of that.
Exactly.
I just thought about it the other day. I'm like, when did they ever really put it in repeats to be able to tell that it doesn't repeat well? Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, sometimes with there seems to be, like, that have gotten don't repeat well. And some things, you know, don't, like, they've tried, you know, repeating stuff. Some things, you know, like Lost doesn't really repeat well, like, in the same season, you know, like if you were to, you know, back in the first few seasons and stuff. But some shows, you know, like I think Chuck would probably repeat well, and or at least, you know, somewhat. But sometimes they've gone off this, you know, they've gone off with trying to do this always new programming thing. And so now you have, like, another one of these, you know, long breaks for Chuck and Heroes on Monday night. And then this huge break for Episodes of Life on, you know, on Wednesdays.
Right.
And with all the other new shows, you know, premiering and stuff coming back on cable, whether it's at the same day or same time. Just the sheer amount of stuff, like we were talking, you know, you can't, you know, as hard as we all try, you can't watch everything. And some people, you know, have, you know, watch, you know, are only watching a handful of shows a week, and they might pick something else up in that time frame. And by the time they've sort of forgotten about your show. And so I don't get these long breaks. And I think that they're the thing that you put in does better, like, than a repeat episode, you know, ratings wise. I think long term, though, it actually kills the other show. It kills its ratings when it returns, just because of these breaks. So I don't know. It seems you get used to it, like, not being there.
Right. Right, because I don't tune into whatever's in replace of Life. And so by the time it gets back, it takes, I mean, it doesn't take me because I happen, you know what I mean? I am me. And I'm keeping track of the schedule. But, like, for somebody, well, you know what I mean? Like, for somebody who's, like, not watching TV like I'm watching TV or keeping track of the schedules like I'm keeping track of them.
Yeah.
It takes them a couple episodes before they realize something's back. And then they're like, oh, crap, I'm behind. And then, you know what I mean? Especially on a show that's kind of serial, like, then they feel like they can't catch up. So they wait. So that it just all kind of... a domino effect, I think, on the
especially ratings. If they're not watching like Superstars of Dance or Biggest Loser on Mondays and Tuesdays, then they're probably not seeing any ads for if they are even showing any, you know, that this is coming up this week or whatever.
Exactly. Well, that's what I meant. Like, if they're not paying attention to them, you know what I mean? It's not until their DVR catches it, or if they don't have a DVR, until they happen to catch it on the schedule again, that they realize that they've missed something. So anyway, okay, sorry, tangent. Tangent over. Any more predictions that we have? We didn't list very many there. So.
A couple of just things I was thinking about. Like, people predict every year that, like, the CW is going to go down in flames or whatever. I don't think so. Even though it doesn't, for some reason, it's like people can't find it or something like that. It's not like the programming, obviously, is... obviously, they're going after a certain demographic, but if you can actually get 5 million people to watch Smallville or whatever, it means that some people can actually find the network. Why they're not finding it for some of these other shows like Privilege or whatever that are really good, I don't know. I'm hoping that they'll somehow figure it out, but I think CW will still be around. It's not going anywhere anytime soon. And then another just mentioned... Saturday programming. I think one of the networks other than probably, well, not the CW, but other than Fox will start actually putting original programming on Saturdays, trying to reprogram Saturdays, which...
You think so?
I don't know. I think it's a possibility. I don't know if... I don't know. It seems like a possibility that something that NBC could do, since they're... losing, you know, the Jay Leno, she have a couple hours to try and program something new on Saturday night. But I don't know
that they're doing the Jay Leno thing so that they don't have to create new programming because they are not creative.
Well, I mean, being able to maybe possibly keep something that they already have, not have to do away with something. And or if, you know, if something that comes here in the fall actually is a hit or a hit by NBC standards. And
yeah, maybe.
And my last prediction is that a series produced strictly for the web, a web-only series, will hit more mainstream. Something will hit, and this year that people will be, you know, either talking about or a lot of people will be watching, but it won't be because it's gone from web to TV or something like, or that it's associated, that it's on the web but associated with the TV show. It'll be just web only, and it'll either hit mainstream or come close to being considered like a mainstream success. I don't know what it'll be or where it'll be, but I think that might happen. So those are my predictions.
Amory, did you say you had something?
I don't have anything else.
I don't really have this isn't a prediction. I guess it's along the same lines as that last one for Jason. It's not so much a prediction as a hope. I hope that we'll see more integration between TV and online web series. I mean, I actually hope this is not TV prediction. I hope that, and I think that online web series will be really taking off in this next year. Getting more and more attention. Obviously it already is, like The Guild being broadcast on Xbox, whatever, you know what I'm talking about, all those type of things. Like, I think it is already starting to go that direction. But I'm hoping that there will be some integration between the two, because I think that TV networks need to realize that they need to do something. Like, they need to be starting to look at the future and how web viewing is changing and how they can be a part of that. So I'm hoping that they will start looking at that and not just focusing on what they've been doing year after year, which I think will still be in effect for several years. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not one of those people who believes that TV's going away anytime soon. There are just right. too many people that I know personally in my everyday life who do not watch anything online, who are not, you know what I mean? Like, that is not their medium. The TV is their medium. They still come home and interact with their TV. They might, you have a DVR to like program it or whatever, but they do not do anything online or, you know what I mean? Like, they don't get stuff through Netflix. They don't do any of that. So I still think that it's around for a while, but I do think that the TV networks need to start looking at how they can get ahead of the curve, so to speak, and find a way to integrate the two of them so that when it mm-hmm. starts to go that way, they're already there. You know what I mean? They're the ones controlling it, or they're the ones guiding it that direction. So that's more of a hope than a prediction, because I don't know how quickly it'll happen. I just think that online web series and viewing, like, stories online, I guess is how I should say it, mm-hmm. will take off in 2009. You know what I mean? It's already starting to take off, so I think it'll go even further in 2009 than it has been before, and I'm hoping that the networks will clue in that they need to start paying attention to that and getting involved in that, which some of them already are, but I think more than what they are now, they need to be. Anyway. All right. So if that's it for our predictions, let's move on to primetime.
Okay. I'm ready.
The first.
My house smells like brownies and it's making me happy.
I was going to say random Amory, but at this point it's just Amory being Amory.
What's his new?
I don't know. Are happy brownies really that random?
No. I have brownies in my fridge. I can't smell them, though. Now I'm thinking about them, and that's making me happy. All right, prime time. The first thing on our list, because as Jason pointed out, in the upcoming weeks, we'll have a lot of shows on Fridays where we didn't have them before, so we weren't having to really worry about Fridays. So our prime time is probably going to run Friday through Thursday now on the podcast, just so you know. Like, so it's from the Friday before, so that we can catch all the Friday shows as well and don't have to talk about them the week that we're recording. So with that in mind, let's start with a Friday show, Psych.
Is that French? The sea lion?
How did we say he said it?
Shabby Thessalion.
Thessalion.
Thessalion. Is that French?
How much does he weigh? 700 pounds. Wow. All right, if you didn't watch Psych, you're just like, what the hell are they talking about?
About Shabby the sea lion.
On this past week, a sea lion was murdered, and Sean and Gus were on the case. Of course, they were on the case. It was pretty darn funny.
It was. It was very good.
That's Steve Franks. He's a funny guy. Steve Franks is the creator. He also wrote and directed this episode.
I love when creators write and direct episodes.
I know.
Burn notice. Anyway, no, it's so good.
It was so good. It was very funny, hilarious.
The two of them in the boat, the out of sight comments. Oh gosh, you have to watch it if you haven't watched it.
You're so funny with the "you have to go." He's like, "What are you talking about?" What did you say? He had a dream about it.
I don't remember.
When he's telling him he has to jump off the boat, like he has to be the sacrificer, he has to be the one to. How did he say that?
I don't know.
Oh, it's going to bug me. Gus was telling Sean that, like, basically he was the one that was going to have to take the fall. That's what he said. You have to take the fall. And so Sean was like, why do I have to take the fall? Even though it was Sean's freaking boat.
It's always Sean's
boat. But
I love that he was trying to swim with dolphins and, like, wouldn't move past it.
I love that she's like, no, you can't. It's against the law. It's illegal to do that. And he's like, really? She's like, well,
what about a whale?
Yeah. And she's like, and she just laughs. She's like, oh, that's a funny joke. And he's like, not a joke. What about a whale?
Sean, why are you wearing swim trunks? Oh, so good. I love that shit.
It was very funny when Gus is like realizing all of a sudden what Sean's about to do. Oh,
well, I like
so
how
funny.
They tied that into, you know, that was the flashback to open up the episode, was them trying to, in elementary school or whatever, on a class field trip, trying to swim with the dolphins and getting caught.
Oh, Gus and Sean. I also love that he's like, when he got on the boat and his dad, he wants to learn how to row. Drive the boat, and he takes off with the boat, and Sean is like, he wanted me to do that, he knew I was going to do it. Gus is like, no, I don't think that's what he wanted you to do.
I think he wanted to teach you how to drive the boat.
Oh, Sean. And Sean's like, no. It's very funny. And then they pull up to the dock, and Lassie and Juliet are there, and he's like, Dad, you called the cops. It was very funny. It was all very good, obviously. All right, now that we've gushed over Psych, I'll let you guys gush over 24. Or not.
Hey, what? What are you talking about, 24?
We're moving 24. On to 24 now.
It was the fantastic 4 hours that I loved.
Yeah, I thought it was... I mean, there's a couple little things in there, but for overall, I thought it was really good with the different little twists and all the different storylines they have going and how different things hooked into past seasons and the mm-hmm. and that it really does fit in with the 2 hour movie that played back in November.
Yeah. Plus Tony Almeida is back. Tony Almeida is back, guys. That's all that matters.
Yeah, I thought they did a decent job of
love him.
I thought they did a decent job of explaining, it wasn't in the world of 24, that's not completely out of it, how he supposedly died and is not really dead.
Wait, so this character was thought to be dead before? I don't watch 24, obviously.
They thought he died at the end of season 5.
Okay.
But it is true. They explained it really well. Like, spoiler alert, whatever. But they explained it really well. We didn't see him get taken away by the EMTs. We didn't see it. There was no silent clock, which in 24, if there's a silent clock, it's like a big death. So.
Yeah, and so they basically, he's back and wrote, that he was shot up with something that mimicked his death, and then was, once that he was taken out of, the old CTU building, that he was revived, and that was how they, this nefarious group recruited him, because he fit the profile of, because his, he'd worked for the, worked for the government, but his wife had been killed and all these different things. And so he fit the profile of somebody that they could recruit in to be an operative for them. And he actually was doing that for a little bit until he came across a plot that they were working on that was even, too much for him, that he couldn't be a part of. And so, but it, for me, it worked well enough to, as a way to bring him back.
I've learned over the years that you have to suspend belief with 24.
Well, so it's already, pretty much when you're watching it and they go from here to there, and they show up on a street and there's no cars, and you're like, this is Washington, D.C., right?
Yeah, seriously. I've been to Washington, D.C.
You're like, okay. I mean, it's like in L.A., same thing in L.A., they'd be able to get someplace in a car, and you're just like going, unless they have, traffic, or how did they, they fudged that. I think they did pretty well with that in like the first season, but mm-hmm. they've sort of fudged on it a little bit, and then they get around it, some ways with the, helicopter rides and stuff like that to sort of speed transportation. But sometimes you're like, wow, they got there really fast. And why is there nobody else on the street at it's like 9 o'clock in the morning in downtown Washington, D.C. And they found a street that has no cars on it whatsoever.
I just thought that it was really, maybe I was more excited about it because it's back and like I missed it, but I was really, really, really happy to see it. So
I think it was back, and it's vintage. It sort of harkens back to some of the stuff that made it good early on, and I think they have some interesting stories, storylines playing out for all the different things. And when you're thinking about 24, you gotta, you can't complain too much about moles or government conspiracies or that type of stuff, because if you don't have those, what else are you doing for 24 episodes?
You've got exactly.
You got to have a bunch, or you have no, there's not a lot of potential for twists and stuff like that. And also, I also saw somebody that said they didn't like, or somewhat that some of the new characters in the FBI office are like too close to like previous characters. You know, like the head of the FBI office is too much like Bill Buchanan, and Janine Garofalo's character is like too much like Chloe, and that they're like, it's because of the reason is because of the formula of the show. And I don't necessarily think that it's necessarily that they're just following the formula of the show. I think they really wanted to create, especially in the Janine Garofalo's character, I think they actually wanted to create a character that was kind of similar, because I was so waiting for that time where they were, which they've already had a little bit, where those two characters are going at each other, trying to hack, you know,
yeah,
back and forth. And sooner or later, those two characters have to meet, you know,
I'm sure they will.
I was like looking forward to it because they're sort of these similar characters. And so I think it's not necessarily because of the formula that they did it, but because it made for interesting, to me, it made for interesting TV and interesting potential down the road in the show.
Right.
Are you guys done? I'm sorry. I need you to tell me when you're done with it, because I don't watch it.
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay. Well, the only thing, the only thing is now is that it goes to 1 hour a week after 2 hours, two nights in a row, and you're just like,
yeah, I hate that.
Now you're back to like, oh man, you gotta wait a week to be before each thing, and it, but yeah, that's enough 24.
Okay. Moving on to How I Met Your Mother, which was this my choice?
Yes.
It was my choice because I thought it was a excellent episode. Actually, like,
was it a excellent episode, Ray?
It was an excellent episode, Amory. Brought tears to my eyes there at the end. I know we all know this, but Neil Patrick Harris is a god among actors. He was so good.
Yeah, he was.
Like, he managed to, like, make it funny and still make it poignant. You know what I mean? Like, I really felt for Barney in that episode. Aw, I love you.
Aw, Barney.
And she's just like, what? Exactly. She's so funny. And he's like, what? Anyway, it was very funny.
The episode was good, and it was good on the storytelling level and just the way that How I Met Your Mother tells their stories. You know, they do really... You know, they did a really good job. But on the funny, I didn't find it as funny as, you know, recent episodes being like a month ago now. But
I don't know that I cared that it was funny.
But it's one of those things that it's so good in almost the format of the show and the setup, the way they do things is so good that even when it's not as funny, it's really good, as opposed to, say, like The Office, if you have an episode of The Office that turns out to be not so funny, it turns out to be not such a great episode, because it loses a little something. But just the way, you know, just the flashbacks within flashbacks, or in this case, just the way the story arc goes with the, and some of the things, you know, in the show were pretty good, like Marshall being standing at the door, you know, and all of a sudden he's like, okay, we'll keep it between the three of us.
Yeah, I like him.
I just thought, I guess it's because it moved me, and so I didn't care that, I mean, I laughed at a lot of things, so I guess the humor is always different for everybody, but just the fact that it, like, was a moving story, and that's really what I care about, is that I actually care about what's happening on the screen. A lot of times when it's them trying to be funny and failing to be funny, it's also not moving because they're just failing to be funny. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so when it's like that, I don't like it. But when it's something that actually, like, is a storyline that I care about, there were a couple episodes of Friends that were like that too, like where it was more about what was happening than the funny. But
right.
Anyway. I just thought it was really good, and so I had to mention it, because it did bring me to tears, that last scene. Aw. Anyway.
Well, Ray's going to start crying again.
I am going to start crying again. I'm picturing him smiling at her across the table. Anyway.
Aw, yeah.
Okay. Moving on now to what was the next one? Privileged. I don't really have much to say about Privileged, so if you guys want to go for... Oh, I guess
Esther
I do.
Esther Lawrence is up to no good ever. Whenever she's around, you know something's up.
That is
Megan
true.
Megan should have known that.
Well, she was a good con man because she stayed for a while before she did it.
Yeah. That's what they call in the biz, the long con.
It wasn't that long, but yeah. Are you taking lessons from Sawyer again?
I am.
What I wanted to say about Privilege was, it's funny because I've been kind of, in accordance to my goals, I've been kind of thinking about the shows that I like. And I still really do love Privilege, but I've been thinking about how it fails a little bit for me because it I feel like they don't ever go quite far enough with it. Like, it's not quite deep enough for me sometimes. Like, sometimes it's just adorable. Do you know what I mean? Like, I do love the show and it's adorable, but sometimes I feel like, well, it's just a little hollow because it's just adorable. It doesn't go that next step. And then I had to take it all back with this episode because then they went that next step.
Yeah, they took a couple steps.
So hopefully they'll keep that up.
But they still had plenty of the adorable on the...
They did, but that's what I mean. Like, I wanted a little bit more. And I can't really tell if it's something that, like, the CW is doing because they want it to be more of the light, you know what I mean? Like, soap opera-like, whatever. Or if it's something that the writers just weren't ready to go there yet or whatever it was. But this time they had both the adorable with, like, a little bit more depth to this episode.
I hate Lily.
Yeah.
But she didn't do it this time, right?
She's terrible.
Actress-wise, yes.
What are you doing here? You know who she took acting lessons from? And I hate saying this because I love the show. She took acting lessons from the younger sister on it's always, what's that show? Secret Life of the American Teenager. The two of them, the two of them show together. And I will never watch it. And that's it.
Okay.
I'm sure she's a lovely person. I'm sure she's a lovely person.
She is probably a very lovely person, but she is pretty bad. I'm not even sure why they ever cast her. Not only does she not look anything like Joanna Garcia, she can't act. I don't quite get it, but...
Yes.
Yeah, there's not a... Well,
there's no arguments there.
They did good casting on Sharon Lawrence and Joanna Garcia as mother-daughter. And obviously, Lily came from... must have got more of the father side of things or something like that, because it definitely doesn't... definitely doesn't look like necessarily a sister. But I thought the episode was I thought it was one of the best episodes. It had, you know, it was like highly dramatic on the Megan front, and then they gave you like the cute and adorable on, you know, with the, you know, Sage and Rose. And I didn't like the Sage and Luis as it started out. Mm-hmm. But this episode was really good between the two of them. So some of the lead up, well, except for the last episode with the for Cuban children or whatever, but that was more, but that storyline, while it was trying to get those two together, it was still more of a Rose storyline. Mm-hmm. With her, you know, putting on this whole production and stuff like that. But no, I just thought this episode had some great lines, like Sage with the talking about, you know, I'm rich, he's, you know, he's poor, you know, big deal. They you know, it's over with. They did it on the first 90210. And, you know, lines like that were pretty good. And then also Rose talking to her boyfriend with the where she says, you know, you got to save that for, you know, you got to save that for week 2 when stuff gets really hard.
Yeah.
when stuff gets really hard. And it was just all that, you know, all the interaction between those was too adorable on that, while in very good at balancing out the, you know, all the drama on the other side.
I will agree with that. I don't have anything else to say about it. Did you have? Oh, I do. You know what? I have to just comment.
Oh,
on this.
I do.
You have a lot of nothing to say today.
I know.
Yes, I do.
And Dan Ducky from DuckyDoesTV.com and Kath, GMMMR.com. MMR? Give me my remote.com. Okay,
Jimmer.
Jimmer, you're right. They talked about it in their podcast a little bit. Dan mentioned how he's a little disappointed about the whole Michael Cassidy thing. Yeah, Charlie leaving. And I have to admit that I'm I'm feeling the same way. Like, I'm a little disappointed in that because I really liked the idea of those two together. And I know that that's not gone completely. I get it. But seeing him listed as a special guest star and just, like, what he's clearly, like, he's clearly getting ready to leave right now. So,
yeah.
Like, that whole part, like, kind of bums me out a little bit. And I'm not usually one to care about, like, couples on a show, but I actually just really like him as a character, and I'm kind of bummed that they couldn't find a better way to work him into the show.
That was if it, you know, hopefully it somehow does continue, but if it does continue, it's kind of odd just based on the way that the first, you know, the way those characters were introduced in the first episode. You know, she's living in New York, but they're on the phone all the time and stuff like that. So, you know, they've stayed close even while she's been gone to college and, you know, and stuff like that. And if he leaves, but you never see a scene where she's talking to him on the phone, it would seem too bizarre.
Yeah.
You know, like if he was like all of college, all of a sudden he's like never mentioned or talked about or talked to, or you see him or anything, it would be too strange just the way it, you know, things were set up in the beginning.
True that. I have faith that they won't forget that, but I don't know. We may be thinking too far ahead. We may not.
I mean, I like Rena. I believe that she won't.
I hope we have to deal with that problem.
Exactly. Hopefully we will have the show back and we will get to see how they deal with that. All right. Let's move on to what was else did we want to talk about?
Leverage.
Leverage. Okay. I'm going to let you talk because as I already explained to them before the podcast started, I like the show. I like the show a lot, but I've had family here and it's not good for TV viewing. Me and family in the same room while I'm trying to watch TV doesn't work. So I've been stockpiling the episodes, so I don't want to say too much because I don't have anything to say.
Well, mostly I like the show too. I've, you know, the episodes continue to be fun, but mostly my complaint is I want to know why is to complain about why TNT or whoever's made the decision to air the episodes
out of order.
Out of order. They're, and I'd seen based on just the way that the episode numbers pop up that's actually on demand here on the, you know, on my Comcast cable has the show up on demand like a week later or something like that. And the episode numbers are like, it was like, you know, 101, 102, 106, you know, and it's like, and then it went, you know, 107, 108, 109. And then this last one hasn't popped up yet, but I'm pretty sure it's going to show up as like, you know, 103 or 104 or something. And so it just, I'd already seen it, but watching the episodes, it hadn't bothered me because nothing had seemed out of place until this episode. And there's, without spoiling it, there is a scene in this episode that the conversation would not take place because you already know that information from the third episode. And so, you know, Alec wouldn't be asking Elliot anything because he would already know because that information, because of the whole plot of the third episode. And,
gotcha.
And so, you know, it, and so that one, and then, you know, some of the other stuff that takes place in this episode, since it revolves around a wedding, and, you know, so there's a lot of relationship stuff of place.
You probably could go to, you know, the creator of the show writes a blog, Kung Fu Monkey. Is that his blog? I'll have to give the link.
I've thought of writing, you know, either.
Because he writes about each of the episodes, so he might have said something about it being out of order. Just if you want to look up.
Or at least going to. Going to TNT, you know, somebody at TNT and asking or something, but haven't done that yet. Because it was just this week that it really, you know, if things are filmed in such a way that maybe they were originally filmed in a certain order, but you know, you could play them in stuff. But since there actually seems to be things relationship wise amongst the characters that they're, you know, that are actually arced over the season. To have those come out of order was very stark to me in this episode.
I'll have to look for that because I've already watched the third episode. So I can't watch that. Can't watch this one before it. All right. We've now heard Jason's complaints. If you have not watched Leverage like me, maybe you can watch them in order. Although I will have to say that mine doesn't show the numbers, so I would have no idea what the order should be.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I even went out and looked at, like, you know, some of the websites they have, but they didn't have, like, any markings on filmed order or any episode, you know, actual episode order numbers like they usually do on some things. So I wasn't able to find exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. That's why I said
how they're out of order now, because I wasn't really. I just noticed that they were with the way the numbers were showing up on the cable, but since they're, you know, it's only got like the last four episodes, now they all show in order, you know, this, because the last four episodes actually were shown in order, but it just seemed odd and reminiscent of things in the past that where they, you know, where shows have been played out of order and it just messes things up.
Like I said, maybe you can check Kung Flu. I can't get it out now. Kung Fu Monkey is, and I'm so sorry, I can't remember his name right now because I'm totally blanking.
Dean Devlin.
Him? Dean Devlin. Yeah,
or the other half of the creative team.
The actual writer. I'm so good today. It is kfmonkey.blogspot.com. That is John Rogers. Blog. I think it's John Rogers anyway. There are a couple other bloggers who blog on it too, but he's been going through, like, after every episode he talks about the episode a little bit, so maybe he has them, maybe he talks about how they're out of order, whatever. Anyway, okay. The last thing on our list was a spoiler-free rant about Grey's Anatomy. Amory.
Okay. So what really, there was one thing that, like, every time I saw it on screen, I was in a fit of giggles, like, because it was ridiculous. It was awesome. Meredith wears a high ponytail, and it blew my mind. I was laughing the entire episode. But on the other hand, I really can't stand the storyline that a certain someone's involved in with dead people, and I hope it ends sooner than later because I'm going to kill people and make them stay dead.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's not your fault.
How much longer did they say it was going to continue?
At least through February.
Yeah, it's
through February or just into February?
I heard through.
And well, over the, like, the, you know, as it's gone along, it seems to become more where she sees him more often. So it seems that maybe it is coming to a head. The only thing is like, I don't like the storyline necessarily. And I think some of the stuff has been pretty dumb. A couple of times, though, it's given Catherine Heigl, an opportunity.
Yeah, she's getting a lot of stuff to do, but I wish that they could have
some interesting scenes. But the storyline in general, but you know, now that that spoiler is out there of what's happening, you know, to her, you know that that there is something coming, that there will be a resolution to it. But I don't know if it really spoils anything, but. There was a scene, I won't say exactly what it was, but there was a scene at the end of the episode that I was like, what? It took the, you know, this stupid storyline already. And then I was like, okay, how does this happen? How?
I
was like, this doesn't make, you know, any sense inside of something that doesn't make any sense already.
Yeah, I'm about anatomy.
I was just like watching that. But other than that, I thought the episode was excellent. I thought a lot of the rest of the episode and things that happened in, you know, mother and the serial killer storyline and the guy that wanted to be taller and all that. And the Christina and Owen storyline, all the rest of that was outstanding. And even, you know, you could say, you know, vintage Grey's Anatomy, but being drugged down by this one other thing. And so
exactly,
it was, you know, like 75% awesome. You know?
All right. Well, that's...
I have one more thing to say about primetime, and it's not going to spoil anything. It's about The Office.
Okay.
And it's just going to take a second here. Steve Carell does this one scene where he strings along like 17 sentences in one sentence. And I was, like, almost in tears. I was laughing so hard. Nobody else in the room was. Me and my friend Dave were, like, dying. And it was amazing. And it's just one of the best things I've seen on this season.
It was very funny to me as well. Jason can't comment because he has not watched yet.
But I'm sure he'll feel the same way when he sees it.
What did you say, Amory?
I said I'm sure he'll feel the same way when he sees it.
Yes. All right. Is that all we have about Primetime?
Yes.
Jason?
Prime time's a wrap.
Very good. I think that's everything for this week. As it should be, because we've been talking for a long time.
Yes, we have.
I guess that's a good welcome back. We're back.
And we're back.
All right. As I said earlier, you can call 213-985-3176 if you want to call and leave us some feedback. Next week, we will be discussing our second half of mid-season preview. Is that right?
Yeah, I
was going to say premieres, and then I said preview, so that's why, because I'm an idiot. But that's what we were discussing, right? Like the second half of
more looking towards
shows.
Yeah, more looking towards things coming back in February, you know, into February or March.
March.
Better off said.
April.
March is a long way away. Okay, so that's what we'll be discussing next week. If you'd like to call in and leave us some feedback about that or ask us some questions about that, whatever. Or if you want to call us and tell us what your TV resolutions / goals are for this year, or what maybe you did over the break if you did something fun.
Or if you just want to complain and send us an email because your other friends don't listen to you when you have too much TV to watch, Shannon.
Exactly.
We welcome those emails.
We do. We like it when people write to us and vent because it makes us feel good, too. Because
yes,
we do that,
I like
too.
Hearing that you have too much TV for your DVR systems because it makes me feel normal.
Amory's juggling how many hours of Cold Case?
Oh, I know. It's like a billion. Also, if you can see me right now.
I've got two seasons of Cold Case on my computer, and I keep recording it every Sunday.
On your computer doesn't count. We're talking about... Because you've been saving it off of your DVR.
No, well, it's the I have TV tuners on my computer, so I'm using it as a second DVR. So,
gotcha.
I record it every Sunday. I
you
record
might need
it.
To catch up on that, you know.
But now I'm so far behind that I don't know.
Maybe it should just be a clean slate. Maybe that should be another TV.
Sorry, Cold Case.
Yeah. All right.
just go in and mass delete Cold Case and without a trace off of my.
Exactly.
Second DVR.
Think of how great it would feel once you cleared it all off.
I'll tell you here. I know we're all
that I have another 100 hours of space to record other TV shows.
Here's what I'll tell you. I'll tell you what happens in Cold Case. They solve the murder. At least they find the thief. So
somebody died a long time ago and they figure it out now?
Yep. There you go.
Awesome.
All right, you guys. All right. So, again... Before we got off on our little tangent here, you can call us. Call us with your tangent at 213-985-3176. Or you can email us from the website as well, which is www.tvtimes3.com. Spell it all out. Our music today is TV Party, provided by iodapromonet.com by the Asylum Street Spankers from their Mercurial title.
Lovely.
From their Mercurial title, put out by Yellow Dog Records. You can find more information about that on our website as well. All right, you guys. I think we're done. Or I'm done anyway. Put a stick in me.
I'm done. Put a fork in it, I think. Not a stick.
A stick, a fork, whatever.
Whatever.
Put a fork in me. I'm done. Stop. That's multiple times you have corrected me this episode.
It's what I do, and I apologize.
It was an excellent episode. Not a excellent, it was an excellent episode.
I'm such a douche.
You are.
You gotta edit that out, because that sounds mean.
I'm not gonna edit it out. All right.
All right.
Okay, we got through the whole thing without making ourselves laugh, and yet we get to the end. All right,
yep.
Say goodbye.
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 There's one thing that kept me laughing. What the hell is that?
That'd be my phone in the background ringing.
And watch TV and have a couple of brews.